name is David Reske, CEO of NowSpeed Marketing, and welcome to this edition of In the Now, where we focus on uncovering the myths and misunderstandings of marketing and leadership with some of the world's most interesting people. And my guest today is Mike Begg. Mike is the CEO of AMZ Advisors, a marketing firm that helps companies build their e-commerce brands and channels. His firm has grown significantly under his leadership, and I'm excited to learn more about his strategies to help his clients be successful. Mike, welcome to the show.
David, thank you for having me here today. I'm excited to be talking with you.
Well, we're going to focus today on your work on the Amazon platform. And just to get started, you've done a lot on Amazon, helping your clients be successful. Why should companies be selling on Amazon?
Well, the answer is pretty straightforward, actually. When you look at the actual numbers, about 70% of all online product searches start on the Amazon platform now. So in general, if you have a product and you want to be found, you need to be on the platform. Otherwise, consumers aren't going to be finding your brand. I mean, ranking on Google is even harder when you have people coming to Amazon. Their purchase intent is pretty high. They're searching for products that they want to find. You need to be there. And then from there, you can try to acquire them with a variety of different strategies.
Wow. 70%. That's amazing. So do you find it is as important to be there from a brand and just awareness standpoint, or is it really about driving that right to a purchase? Or is there really a difference?
I would say, so it's interesting that you actually bring it up that way. I kind of position this conversation in two different ways. One is that, you know, we're all familiar with what a sales funnel or what a marketing funnel looks like. I mean, we have top of funnel, middle, and bottom. When we look at how the Amazon channel fits within your broader marketing funnel or within your broader e-commerce ecosystem, Amazon is kind of like that top of the funnel when it comes to e-commerce platforms, because your ability to have new consumers find your brand is extremely high. There's already a high number of consumers going there, and then you just need to get the product in front of them at the right time. And then hopefully after they purchase, you can find ways to get them to either become repeat customers, potentially push them to other channels where you might have more control over the customer experience. So that's kind of the way that we position it. It's like, how do we help you obviously convert people on the Amazon platform, but how do we help more people discover your brand so that your other sales channels start performing as well?
Cool. So what types of products really work best on Amazon? I mean, I love Amazon personally. I make it, I'm probably the prototype. I buy everything I possibly can on Amazon, small or large. Only if I can't find it on Amazon, do I really go somewhere else? In your experience working with clients, what types of products sell best there? Is it all products, all price points? What do you think?
In general, so I think those are two different questions and two very good questions. In general, when it comes to a price point perspective, cheaper products tend to sell better. And that's just the way that the Amazon platform is structured. The way that products rank organically on the Amazon platform is essentially the Amazon search algorithm. And there's a few different factors that go into that. So it's mainly based on conversion rate and sales velocity, the number of units you're selling per day, and the number of units you've been selling over an extended period of time. Products that are cheaper tend to convert higher. And because of that, they tend to show up higher on the platform. Now, that being said, pretty much any category can be a good opportunity for sellers. And price point and customers will be price point agnostic, I would say. If you have really good social proof, if you have really good reviews on your listing, in that way, that's one way to stand out from a price point perspective. And also, it just depends on the niche. Some niches are less competitive than others, and some price points in some categories are just naturally higher. So a good example of this would be consumer electronics. Mainly, consumer electronics come from China, and the price points can be extremely low, and Chinese manufacturers will put a lot of American consumer electronic brands pretty much out of business, or make them uncompetitive on the marketplace. Other categories like cosmetics, like supplements, potentially even apparel, they tend to have higher price points based on the brand, based on the consumer awareness of the product already, and that's where you can really differentiate yourself. So, bringing it back, there's really two things to consider. One is that categories that are dominated by foreign manufacturers generally China, are like electronics. That's really difficult to compete in categories that are pretty much a race to the bottom and price point are also very difficult to compete in.
Interesting. So in terms of niche categories that you work with, with your firm, with the scale that you've got, you probably work with clients across a wide variety of categories. Yeah. Are there categories, just as an example, that when you meet a new client, you're like, oh yeah, we can really win there. That are like, you know, you just have some innate sense of that these are really good categories. Can you give us any examples of those?
Yeah. For us, I mean, pet supplies, baby products, toys, those are all really good categories they're fairly competitive, but the strategy we have and everything makes our clients very successful in those. Other categories where it's very competitive and it's a little bit more challenging are categories like supplements, personal care products, generally products where consumers are just buying them one time. So sports and outdoors is a good category of that. Like if you buy a water bottle, you're not going to come back and buy another water bottle next month, a reusable water bottle, I mean. So it's a little bit more competitive, or a lot more difficult to be profitable or make money from each sale. So generally, like I said, pet supplies, baby products, supplements, health and personal care, those are the categories where we see a lot of success.
So do you think, or I guess let me ask it this way, in terms of brand power, so they're obviously like in pet supplies, there are big brands that have been very mm-hmm. successful, you know, that I might see in a supermarket or in a pet supply store. What's the impact of like powerful brands on selling through Amazon versus, you know, great social proof, wonderful product photos, low price? How do you kind of weigh those factors when you're kind of thinking about a strategy with a client?
Well, when you look at the search volume on Amazon, I mean, the majority of searches on Amazon are non-branded. So these are consumers that are coming to the platform and just searching, I don't know. What do I have in front of me? Web camera. They're coming to the platform. They're searching web camera. They're not searching Logitech web camera. They're not searching whatever other brand it is. If they're just searching for a web camera, the one that comes up in the top of search results and has the best reviews is probably going to be the one they go with, regardless of brand. Now, if you have the brand awareness and people are already going to the platform and searching for a brand, or your competitor has the brand awareness, it's going to be very difficult to compete on that type of keyword. So you need to focus on more of the non-generic stuff, on the generic stuff and the non-branded stuff. That is where you're going to see success initially. I mean, if you're a brand new startup brand, there's a few different things you can do. One is obviously you need to figure out how to build your social proof. How can you get reviews? Two, is there any ways that you can generate brand awareness outside of Amazon to generate more branded searches coming to Amazon? And three, can you make your packaging look professional enough where it seems like you're an actual legitimate brand? Because that actually sways people a lot. Maybe you've had this experience where you go to Amazon and you look at different product photos and you're like, well, you know, that looks like someone made that in their garage. And like, this looks like a professional product. The first impression that people have from the product photos, and a lot of that comes down to the graphic design work, the labels, all those different aspects, determines greatly on what products customers actually end up buying.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess that absolutely makes a lot of sense. So what are some of those, just can you go a little deeper? What are some of those tactics that you see as working really well to either get you high up on the search engine results to get into those top positions? Maybe start there. And then I just want to talk about what, you know, how do you build out that whole listing to make it really powerful and improve the conversion?
For sure. So from a strategy and tactic standpoint, it's always great to start. And the way that we always recommend this to our clients is starting with the bottom of the funnel, is starting with the customers that are ready to purchase. There's a very specific ad type. It's called sponsored products that you can use. And these are the ads that show up in search results. So it's usually like the first three, four results on Amazon when you search something, that's a sponsored product ad. Generally, that's the first way to show up, because if someone's coming to Amazon searching for a specific keyword, there's a good chance that they're trying to purchase that product, or the buying intent is much higher. And a good example of this is that conversion rates on Amazon, or the average conversion rate on Amazon, is about 8%. Versus on Shopify, you'll typically see between like 1-3%. So you're looking at least 2.5 to 3 times better conversion rates on Amazon. So people have high buying intent. The sponsored product ads help them show up at the top of search results, and that leads to the initial revenue to get started. From there, we kind of reverse engineer the entire sales funnel. So we start moving backwards. It's like, all right, now that we've built bottom of the funnel out to capture like the low hanging fruit, how do I start creating more consideration for my product? So I want to start targeting other products that are in my category or other competitor products that I might have unique USPs that are better than their product or that differentiate my product from theirs. And then more moving out to brand awareness. Now, how do I create more discovery through sponsored display, through other types of display advertising, both on and off of Amazon? So from a tactics standpoint, start with the low-hanging fruit and then start moving up from there on the advertising side. When it comes to creating a great listing, this is obviously going to have a huge impact on how the ads actually perform. So this is what I mentioned, having a really good looking branding on the product, making sure your packaging looks legitimate. It looks like a real company did this and not just taking the cheapest route possible. And then from there, you need to focus on two different aspects. One is the graphic design. Images are what most consumers check when they go to Amazon. So if you're on the mobile app, actually, images is the first section that shows up below the title. So you want to be able to highlight all your product benefits and features to the consumer within those photos to make them really engage and really understand how this product differentiates itself from other products in the market. The other thing you need to consider is the actual SEO copy on your listing. So your product titles, your bullet points, your product description, all of that is indexed within by the Amazon search algorithm. So I spoke briefly to this about a little bit earlier, but when we're talking about identifying how you are relevant within the Amazon search algorithm, it comes down to the keywords. So if I am searching for a web camera and consumers are searching for web camera and coming to my listing and buying it, that's a signal to Amazon that my product is relevant for that keyword. So the idea being that the more conversions I can make on these keywords, the more relevant Amazon's going to think I am, the higher I'm going to search, stand out on search results on the product page. So that's really how you want to go about setting up your listing pages, identifying what keywords are most relevant for your product, figuring out how to use those in the areas where consumers are searching the most or looking the most, like the product titles, the bullet points are probably the next most important place, and then the descriptions the third most important. And utilizing all of that to start gaining momentum within the Amazon search algorithm.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It seems like the principles, we do a lot of SEO for websites. It seems like the principles are all very similar, but much more specific, right? Because you're optimizing on very specific search phrases. Can you get data on the search volume on all those different terms within the Amazon ecosystem?
There's a variety of different third-party tools that can provide insights to you. And another good tool is actually the advertising side. So for example, there's an advertising report called the Search Term Impression Share. So with that data, we can look at it and say that for this keyword, we're getting 1% of the search impressions. So then from there, you can kind of reverse engineer and figure out, well, you know, this keyword has a lot of search volume or it doesn't have a lot of search volume, or it's relevant to my product or it's not relevant to my product. And you're going to use all that information to really help optimize your listing on an ongoing basis.
Seems like there's a lot of detail in this business, right? So you got to do a lot of things right. So, you know, if I'm a new entrepreneur and I'm getting my product off the ground, or I'm a big brand and I've got, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars of revenue, why should I use your firm? How do you kind of make it easy for firms to do a great job in this space?
So we help in two different ways. The first way is mainly that new brands to Amazon or brands that are getting onto Amazon for the first place, we help them with all the best practices on how to get set up. So we'll help them with all the content, all the SEO, make their products look good. We'll give them some campaigns to start with, as well as set them up with any softwares that they might need to be successful. From there, we really let the brands start managing it themselves, because for a new startup, it's difficult for us to get the results if they don't have the budget to invest in the advertising. Now, ideally, we try to work with companies that are doing between 5 to 20 million a year on Amazon, because those companies have the budget for us to really go out and start making significant improvements to their sales. So, not saying that going from, you know, 100 sales to 1,000 sales is not significant, but when we're able to add $100,000 a month in new revenue or $200,000 a month in new revenue, that is a significant number for most companies. So That's really where having the advertising budget becomes important. And from there, we're really able to start driving the results that most larger brands want to see.
Now imagine you can measure the ROI very specifically because it's all within the Amazon platform. You can say, I'm spending $100,000 in ads. I'm driving this level of sales that's producing this gross margin, and it's a very clear ROI, right?
Exactly. That's the great thing is that we have a ton of data through Amazon, and it's just figuring out how to actually leverage it. There's so much data, it's difficult to actually set things up sometimes or actually create the views and the reports you need to make decisions. So that's the benefit, is that once we have the data, we can really dive into the analyses that we have and start seeing where the opportunities are for each account. But for a newer seller, that's a little bit more challenging if they don't have the sales history, if they don't have a reliable set of data for us to work off of.
Yeah. Let's say you're working with a medium-sized company and they don't have experience on Amazon, but they really want to get involved, but they've got a good brand presence. They're kind of in retail channels. They've been in business for, you know, a number of years. They're kind of out there, but they really want to make something, you know, happen. Would you advise them to take all of their products, kind of make a big investment, get all their products on Amazon right away just to see what works? Or do you kind of focus on small subset of products to kind of get some early wins? How do you kind of think about that product strategy?
Well, in general, we believe that if you have the brand awareness, it doesn't hurt to have all your products up there. A lot of this is just discovery. It's figuring out what works and what doesn't work. Some subcategories within categories may be less competitive than others. So if you are in the pet supply category and you have 15 different subcategories of products, let's put them all up there and see what starts performing and what doesn't. Generally, what we find is, as in most of the world, Pareto's law exists. 20% of your products are going to drive 80% of your revenue. So once we start seeing the data on what categories are working, we can start focusing on pushing those products more and really start generating more significant sales. So yeah, we recommend getting all your products up and just seeing how the sales data starts, starting with some basic advertising to measure performance. And then from there, you'll be able to identify the opportunities of where you should, you know, really dive in and start pushing products harder.
It seems like it's a lot of work to build out every product page. Is that a big part of the initial investment? Kind of like, I mean, like on the website, when we're building websites, it's a lot of labor to kind of build out every, you know, write the copy, get the images, build out the websites. Is it the same on building these Amazon pages? It's a little labor intensive. You get the videos, you get the photos, you get the descriptions. It's work to build that out.
It is a little labor intensive, mainly from the design aspects. So, I mean, we're not doing any, luckily it's Amazon, it's already built. We're not doing any, you know, web development or anything when it comes to it. That's the nice thing. But yeah, we have a ton of content we need to produce. So, I mean, we have the SEO content, the copy from there. We have all the product images we need to create. We have the storefront we need to create. We have A+ detail pages we need to create, video, as you said. So yeah, there's a variety of different content types that need to be created when you're launching. And there is a big investment that goes into that. Now, you don't need to do it all at once. We do recommend at least starting with the SEO and the product images, because those are the two things that are going to move the needle the most. Everything else from there is going to be probably incremental improvements on conversion rates and a variety of click-through rates, a variety of other metrics that we're going to be tracking.
Yeah. So let's talk about the metrics a little bit. You get a new client or maybe an existing client, you know, running, you've got things running well. What are the core KPIs that you're really going to counsel them to focus on? Because I imagine you could look at a lot of data and, you know, in my experience with, you know, in web analytics or in SEO, it's easy to get confused by a lot of different metrics. But do you counsel your clients to kind of focus on a few different core KPIs and, you know, how do you think about those?
Yeah, so that's a very good question. We do focus on probably 4 to 5 different KPIs. Conversion rates being one of the most important. If we're converting well, our products are going to start generating more sales, more revenue. That's incredibly important to our clients. Click-through rates are also incredibly important, because if we're getting low click-through rates, we know that there's something wrong with our product titles or our images, or something needs to be changed to try to boost those. Another one we look at, it's called subscribe and save, or new to brand and subscribe to save. So you may have seen this on Amazon, where with products that you're purchasing on a recurring basis, you have the option to have it delivered weekly or bi-weekly or monthly or whatever you want, and you save a discount. That's for products that are consumables, that's incredibly valuable. So we want to see how we're first attracting new customers to the brand, and then how well those new customers are signing up for subscribe and save and becoming repeat customers. So obviously increasing the customer lifetime value there. Those metrics are incredibly important. And then on the advertising standpoint, to understand profitability, we look at a metric that was Amazon's original metric. It's essentially the inverse of ROAS. It's called ACoS, average cost of sale. That's one metric. And then there's another one called total ad cost of sale, or the inverse would be total ROAS, where essentially we're looking at the total ad spend divided by, or for total ROAS, it would be the inverse, but for total ACoS, it would be the total ad spend divided by the total number of sales. So for example, if you know your product has a 30% margin, overall, we want to make sure that all of your products are selling for less than a 30% total ACoS to make sure that you're making money. Obviously, we try to get that down to, you know, below 10%, so we're maximizing the margin you're making. But once we know those numbers, is where we can really start using our strategies to improve everything from there.
Yeah, your firm is clearly expert at understanding all the details of the process and what's really important here. You know, but in every marketing campaign or in every agency, there are some firms that are very successful and some firms where it doesn't work quite as well as the client expects. You know, in your experience, what's usually the issue when it doesn't work as well as the client expects? Is it the product, the brand? You've done everything to set up the environment perfectly. It's got the best selling copy. It's got great images. You put the right keywords in. In theory, everybody's making millions of dollars. Sometimes I imagine it doesn't work. What do you think it is when it doesn't work? How do you counsel your clients?
That's a very tough conversation to have, but it usually comes down to one of two, well, I'll say one to three different factors. One being that the product quality is too low. And we'll see that when we start getting product reviews from consumers, if they're constantly complaining about things breaking or things not working the way they should. It's a very good indication that the product is quality is low and it's not going to help us be successful. I would say the second one is the availability of advertising budget. When you're working with brands that are a little bit too small, or entrepreneurs in general, and I'm sure you have the same experience, they're very involved in the day-to-day. They want to make sure that every dollar that they spend on advertising or marketing or whatever is leading to the best return. And when you have someone that's micromanaging like that, it does make it more difficult for us to really test at a fast pace and find out what works and what doesn't work. So it actually slows us down from achieving more growth in the long term. And then finally, the last thing I would say is that there may be a competitor that just dominates the market. That happens from time to time. So like a good example of this would be, I guess, like Kleenex. Kleenex is almost a household name, or Q-tips. That's another one. Q-tips are almost a household name for a certain type of product. If you're in that same product category and trying to compete, it's going to be very difficult because most consumers are already searching for that brand. So it's going to be a high cost of advertising for you to try to advertise there. You're not going to convert as well as people looking for Kleenex. So it's very difficult to compete in those types of circumstances.
Yeah. And where you've got a strong competitor with the household brand. Yeah, that makes sense. So if I'm trying to go out with the best facial tissue and competing with Kleenex, that's tough. Yeah, and then some categories are like that. And what you said about ad budget is really true. We see that in, you know, Google or other social advertising campaigns. When a client can't spend enough for other budgeting reasons to really test quickly, it can take months or even years to get to the point where you really know what's working. And that's hard. You know, if clients had unlimited budgets, we'd get to those answers faster, I imagine, right? Because especially in your environment where you're maybe advertising on hundreds or thousands of products, you don't have necessarily ad budget to advertise on all of them equally at the same time, right? So you gotta make choices. Yeah,
it's all prioritization. And that's where the most frustration comes from a lot of brands. It's like, why am I not growing fast enough? Well, you're not giving us enough money to test things, or at least the frustrations. I mean, it sounds like you understand that as well, but it's a very, very big thing about being successful in the long term is that you got to have the budget to actually be able to see that success.
Yeah, and the product's got to be there. I think I appreciate what you said about product quality, and you see that very directly in reviews and feedback, right? So if either the product quality or, something else about the product has to be there, right? In order
100%.
for it to sell well. Yeah, I know we just have a few minutes. I know, and I just wanted to explore with you what kind of changes you've seen in the platform over the last 7 years. You've seen a lot of changes. Do you see Amazon continuing to roll out a lot of new capabilities? Do you feel like the rate of change is slowing? Do you feel how do you kind of see that the technology and the evolution of Amazon going on?
So there's a few different things I would say. I mean, one of them is that Amazon has become more and more of a pay-to-play platform over time. The importance of advertising has just increased because the ad supply on the platform has increased, or the places where Amazon is trying to capture consumer attention has increased, and your product needs to be there. And to be there, you need to spend money. So it's very much pay-to-play. The other thing I think that's changed a lot is the access to data that Amazon provides. Like I mentioned before, Amazon gives us a ton of data apart from customer emails, which would probably be helpful for most sellers. But it's really becoming more sophisticated and figuring out how to use that data. So there might be times, and it's happened to us, where a new report comes out and we don't look into it enough, or we don't see the significance of the report until one day where it breaks through and it's like, oh, we could calculate this metric from whatever is being provided in there, and then we can use that to start optimizing the listings in some new way. So, being sophisticated is incredibly important on the platform. I mean, just having a basic level of selling is not going to be enough to really move the needle in the long term.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It feels like Amazon, like a lot of platforms, gives the average user the ability to kind of set it up and do it themselves. Why should they use AMZ to do this versus just kind of figuring it out on their own and make it happen?
Well, I can say confidently that you're going to run into a lot of headaches. This happens with every single account we work with. Amazon is notorious for being, how do I say, unresponsive to sellers. I guess that's a good way to put it. You'll frequently get suspended. You'll frequently get listings taken down. All of this requires a ton of troubleshooting. So knowing what avoids those things happening and how to resolve them when they do happen is incredibly valuable, because any lost time you have selling is just lost revenue in your pocket. The other way is the sophistication that I mentioned. The different types of advertising and the sophistication it takes to run all of those ads is very difficult to learn on your own. And the learning curve for you to get to the same level that we're at is going to cost you a lot of money. So generally, if you want to start getting results immediately, if you want to start avoiding headaches and problems on the platform, that's why you want to come work with a company like ours.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Mike, you and your firm are clearly experts in this space. It's been a joy learning about this and just understanding it better. So thank you for taking the time to talk to our listeners about your experience. If people want to connect with you or learn more about your company or your services, what's the best way to connect with you?
Yeah, and thank you, David. I hope I provided a lot of value here. The best way to get in touch with me is either directly at my email, mike@amzadvisors.com, or you can reach us through our website, amzadvisors.com, schedule a call there, and from there we can see whether it's a good opportunity to work together.
Great. Mike, thanks again for taking the time.
Thank you very much, David.